Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hi, everybody. Hello. I'm like a giggly girl today. I'm so excited to have with me one of my amazing friends that I have met through Access Consciousness. And she actually lives in my area, and she is just an amazing being that I am freaking adore. So I'm so excited to have her on the show today. And before I go into who it is or what we're talking about, I would just like to say welcome, Miss April Armstrong.
Thank you so much, Betsy. It's so much fun to be here with you. As I was telling you before, I love your show. So to be on your show is just such a thrill.
That's so fun. Thank you so much. So what are we talking about today? We are actually going to talk about being an entrepreneur. And what if you didn't actually have to have your own business to be an entrepreneur? So I'm really looking forward to this. And if you've ever fantasized, wished that you could be your own boss and you were afraid to take the leap, what if you could actually have your cake and eat it too? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And April is an amazing entrepreneur, and she's going to be sharing some of the things that she has learned and is doing in her life to talk about cultivating an entrepreneurial mindset that can put you in the driver's seat of your life. Whether you actually are in business, you have your own company, whatever it is that you're doing in your life, that you're in, that you have that entrepreneurial mindset. So April founded and is CEO of AHA Insight, which I love that name. And that provides, they provide strategic leadership advisory and coaching services to executives leading transformative change in the private and public sector organizations. She serves as a trusted advisor, and she's an award-winning international speaker. And she's been featured on a lot of television networks and sharing her leadership tips. She's been published in Forbes, I know for sure, and some other other magazines, and I know she's featured in a lot of places. So I am, you know, so excited that she's here today to share what she knows and how, what her unique gifts and capacities are. And then, as I said before, we actually met through Access Consciousness. And so she's also an Access Bars and Body Process Facilitator. And you can find out more about April at www.aprilarmstrong.live. So again, welcome to Imperfect Brilliance, April.
Thank you, Betsy. And I just love the name of your show as well. You know, and the topic that we're talking about today, it is so near and dear to my heart because I really believe this notion of entrepreneurial mindset. I think it's one of the most important things any of us can acquire in our lives. It cannot be taught in school, and it's really, to me, it's the singular way to truly free yourself in life, where you will never fear losing your job. You will never, you know, wonder about your future economic security when you know that you have the power that you do have and the potency to truly be the creator of your life, and that entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial mindset is, you know, is just such a wide open path for that.
Wow. So for somebody wondering, like, even what is an entrepreneurial mindset? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I should say that I'm honored to sit on the board of advisors for James Madison University's Center for Entrepreneurship, which resides in its College of Business. But one of the reasons I said yes to that, and I do have to give a shout out to all JMU Dukes out there, go Dukes. But one of the reasons I said yes to that was that the college is committed to making entrepreneurship a campus-wide sort of educational experience. So in more than 120 degree programs across campus, they will all these students will be exposed to entrepreneurship. So while it lives in the College of Business, it's not limited to the College of Business. And I think that's so important because at its core, when people hear the term entrepreneur, you know, what do you think of, Betsy, when you hear the term entrepreneur? What or who do you think of? I'm just curious.
You know, there's just so many. To me, it's doing something that you would like to do as opposed to being an employee. That's, I guess, for me, what an entrepreneur is. So whatever that is, like creating what works for you, whether you're making your own business or, you know, whatever that is. So that's kind of what comes in for me.
And this is why this conversation is so fun to have with you, Betsy, because you do have such an expansive sense of that term. You know, so many people, I think, have a more limited sense of that term, and they're picturing, you know, the titans of the industrial era. They're picturing Bill Gates or Elon Musk from Tesla, and they're thinking, well, if I can't be that person, then, you know, this path is probably not for me, you know, or maybe they're even thinking of like that store down the street or that restaurant, you know, in their neighborhood that's, you know, family owned or something. And these are all flavors of entrepreneurship. But to your point, Betsy, it's not, from my point of view, it's not limited to necessarily just having your own venture, although certainly those are many legitimate flavors, you know, of entrepreneurship. But at its origin, the term entrepreneur is actually, you know, comes from a French root word, and at its origin it came from the word entreprendre, which means one who undertakes, to undertake something, to begin something, to establish something. And over time, so there's no sense necessarily here of even a business connotation. It's really just this very creative sort of notion and this undertaking and seeing something through and creating something. And by the mid-1800s, it had crossed the English Channel. It was now in English vernacular, and it was starting to take on this business sense, this notion of taking responsibility for stuff. And by the early 1900s, there was an Austrian economist named Joseph Schumpeter, whose name I'm probably saying totally wrong, but, you know, introduced concept of entrepreneurship into economics and began to introduce this notion of someone who is essentially, you know, converting a new idea into a successful innovation. But even still, you'll notice, we're not necessarily limiting it to creating, you know, a business venture, right? It's this idea of converting a new idea into a successful innovation. And one thing Schumpeter did, which I think is really cool, is that he contrasted innovation with invention, whereas invention, he would describe it as more of a linear, gradual, predictable accumulation of scientific knowledge that turns into, you know, something new coming into the world. His definition of innovation was, you know, innovative adoptions are sudden, they're disruptive, they're creating a new and better way of doing things. And so I really love hearing the origin story around, you know, the original energy behind this word entrepreneur, because, you know, my hope is that our listeners will hear this and say, wow, well, I have a lot of ideas of new and better ways of doing things. You know, whether you're in an educational system, you're a teacher or an administrator, or you're in a, you know, healthcare system, or you're in a corporate job somewhere. Or maybe you do have your own business, or you have a dream of your own business. But in any of these spheres, you can be an entrepreneur. You can have that entrepreneurial mindset. And you can be someone who creates something out of nothing, who creates value, new value, where it may not have existed before. And that is going to be the thing that gives you that platform, you know, to, again, you know, be creating your life, to have that financial, more financial autonomy in life and more creative autonomy over the direction and the path of your life.
Wow. That's absolutely, I loved hearing all of that. And it really makes me look at if I had had more of that point of view, even when I was working in the corporate world, I wonder how different things would have been, because I felt like a lot of times I couldn't do what I really, well, if I saw something that my hands were tied and I didn't have enough experience at that point in my life or confidence to actually go and say, well, what about this? And what about this? I felt like if I wasn't being told what to do, I had to just keep my mouth shut. And, you know, certainly not like that anymore.
Good for you. You're making up for that. I love it.
Right? But, you know, like even if you are in a job where somebody else is writing the paycheck, you know, that you still can have this entrepreneurial point of view and still go and create something that hasn't been created before. So I love this conversation today where it really is a different type of point of view.
Yeah, and, you know, you've probably heard that term, like, I mean, I hate the term, but you hear it sometimes, this notion of corporate drones. And I think, like you said, there are a lot of people, Betsy, out there who may not feel that they're in a space right now where there's a lot of space for this kind of creativity. But, you know, one thing I just really encourage, actually, is for people to really see themselves as their own brand, you know, to really create themselves as their own brand entity. And whether they're in a if they're in a corporation or they're in a school system or something like this, you know, those people are basically paying the light bill and, you know, providing the office space. And, you know, and certainly you're, hopefully you would see, you know, from my point of view, you know, I would encourage you, as I did when I was in a big corporation, it's like, see that company, you know, or your employer as your biggest customer, basically. You know, see them as a customer, but even just the mindset shift of seeing them as a customer versus seeing them as an employer, to me, there's just a more of a lightness in, you know, in that notion of seeing them as a customer. It's more empowering, I feel, at least for me. I always felt it was more empowering for me to see myself in a place of choice. I'm choosing to work with this customer. When you're in a, quote, job, it might be your main customer, you know. That you have the, you know, the when you see yourself as that brand, then there's a part of you that always knows, I can pick up my brand and I can go other places that will be interested in what I have to offer. If needed, or if it's easier for me to do this creation stuff we're talking about through entrepreneurial mindset, if in fact you're in an environment, and certainly they're out there, you know, toxic environments or just really rigid environments where there's not a lot of openness. I would call it like industrial era type models where you're almost like, you know, people are not given a lot of autonomy. That may not be the best, most fertile soil for you as, quote, an entrepreneurial mindset person. That doesn't necessarily mean that your only choice is going out and starting your own venture, although clearly, Betsy, you're a born entrepreneur, and that's exactly what you did. But you could also just go get a different job, right? But you would be the selection criteria for you, even in looking for that different job. Like, they're not just interviewing you. You're interviewing them. Do they meet your criteria for your customers? Because you see yourself as that, you know, as that entrepreneur, and you're looking for that, quote, employer, that next job that's going to value your entrepreneurial mindset.
That is so key, that actually, you know, it's not just about them interviewing you, that you're actually interviewing them as well. And does it work for you as well as will it work for them? So that it really becomes like a win-win situation. And when you are, to me, when you're in that environment where it's both parties are looking to create something greater, that it's like the fertilizer for creating something that has not maybe ever even existed there before. But when you know, so if there's the employer is allowing their employees to offer their ideas, offer their suggestions, and have the brainstorming sessions, the, you know, I forget what they're called. There's, you know, they'll have different names where they get together and they actually encourage all of these different things to come out so that they can be greater than they are today. So if you actually have that as your target, then when you go to, if you're looking at it, you know, a new job, or even if it's in the same company in talking to a different manager or something, if you're going in with, right, if you're going in with that, like, what questions would you suggest that people could ask that are going into situations like that?
Well, you know, and just first of all, I just have to say, and how different do you sound, right, when you're that candidate?
Yes.
I mean, just
true.
Even listening to you just describe that, I'm thinking, wow, even, you know, right there, I was like just getting the energy of like, that is such a different candidate, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so definitely like, and actually just quickly before we get to the questions, I want to say one of the things I love about the name of your show, Betsy, of Imperfect Brilliance, is that while none of us is perfect, thank God, that's so overrated and so much work. We're all brilliant.
Yeah.
We're all brilliant. And so, you know, every one of us and every person in our listening audience now or in the future, you know, we all deserve to be in a place that recognizes and values, you know, mm-hmm. and acknowledges the brilliance that we be, right? And that doesn't mean we're that we're a fit everywhere. And so that's where I say, you know, I think we have to put ourselves in the position of empowerment by seeing ourselves also as screening those employers, right? Or in my case, mm-hmm. as a business owner, I'm definitely screening, my customers. If I don't have a good mm-hmm. customer fit, it's not going to work out well, probably. It's not going to reflect well on my business. It's not going to work out for them, like you were saying earlier about win-win. So I, mm-hmm. you know, my business requires that I am as careful as I, and not careful, but as conscious maybe is the word, as I can be on the front end about selecting the mm-hmm. ideal customer fit for my business, because I really see it as such this partnership. And likewise, if you're in a job, likewise, if you're in a company, that employer is ideally a partner helping you co-create your life. And so back to the questions. You know, I think, and, you know, maybe we can both throw some questions out here, but, you know, some questions that maybe come to mind for me are certainly, you know, tell me about your, you know, tell me about how your company involves, tell me some stories of where your company has reached out across and down and into your employee base to develop some of your new ideas and really give mm-hmm. them life. Tell me some examples of how
Love
the company
that.
Supports that kind of entrepreneurship, or intrapreneurship is a term you might hear some, inside the company. And, you know, I would definitely be looking for some evidence of some examples around that and some real enthusiasm on the interview panel as they're telling those stories. You know, if they're scratching their heads, you know, like, Bob, do you have any idea? But Susie, well, gosh, I think it was 5 years ago there was a woman here named Rachel, and that is a red flag.
Right.
Totally. How about you, Betsy? What would you? That's a great question. What kinds of things could a person ask, you know, of in their
that.
Employer? What would you add?
Well, we'll have to wait until we come back from break to see what other ideas and questions that we have. I can't believe it's already time for our first break.
Oh.
Stay tuned, you guys. I'm here with April Armstrong today. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Thanks for listening.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at ohmtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to level 2 answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, everybody. I'm loving our conversation today with April Armstrong. I'm your host, Betsy McLaughlin. Thank you so much for tuning in to Imperfect Brilliance. Whether you're listening live or in the future, I'm very grateful. And I'm sure that you know, but just in case you don't, we do have a bunch of archives. I've had this show for a long time now, and you can go to Om Times Radio and find the archives. You can also find it through iTunes. And if you still can't find it, feel free to reach out to me and I can point you in the right direction at accessbetsy@gmail.com. And my website is creatingyumminess.com. And April's website is aprilarmstrong.live. And we are talking today about cultivating an entrepreneurial mindset. And right as we were going to the break, we were talking about, and I loved it what you said, about what questions can you ask for when you're talking, whether, you know, talking to a manager, going on an interview, interviewing clients, if you have your own business. And April was saying she really likes to kind of set up things from the beginning with her clients to create the greatest relationship possible. So again, that cultivating. So what would happen, let's say, if you are asking questions and you're getting this energy or this awareness that perhaps the client isn't the greatest fit? What do you do? As you have your own company, you're your own boss. Do you actually turn these down, or what do you do in these situations?
So, you know, that's a great question, Betsy, and something that I really had to grow into myself as an entrepreneur, because when I was new in this business, I really sometimes might take that as a rejection or a brick wall, and it didn't feel really great, you know, super good, right? It might feel discouraging to have a deal not come through, or a client that isn't looking like they're going to be a fit right now, right? But the key is two words: right now. Mm-hmm. I've really learned to really just stay continually open and to really view every interaction I have really with everybody, but certainly in a business context in particular. My real driving force is to just create meaningful relationships that I never know where any of them will go, or when any of them will take root, or whether they will take root, or whether it might become a referral. You just never actually, as Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, and Dane Heer, the co-founder, always co-creator, always say, you never know how it will show up. And I have really taken that to heart in my business, because I've learned that while this client may not be ready right now to work with my business, or may not be a good fit right now for whatever reason, maybe I see some risk factors that make me uncomfortable, or they're just not needing necessarily the kind of work that my company does, but they're sort of tangentially interested, I just give it space. I give it time. I focus more on the best, you know, as much as we can do to sort of establish a meaningful relationship and rapport, and understanding, you know, gaining awareness around their world, and just kind of keeping in touch, right? And again, it may lead to nothing, or it could take a number of different forms. Or, you know, and also people come and go. So the entity itself, the client organization entity, may in time have different people in it that are better fits for that, you know, for that partnership to take root. And again, same, I think, with employees in a company. You know, you may be knocking on a couple of doors because you've got an idea for something and you're initially, you know, you're not getting any uptake. But if you just sort of stay patient and stay open, don't shut up your circus tent and go home, you know. You never know when somebody will get wind of that idea and gives you that phone call and says, you know what, I heard about your idea and I would love to have a conversation with you. And boom, a door has just opened.
Have you ever turned a client down?
I have, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what did that create for you?
It actually, you know, it created so much more ultimately, Betsy. I've had to do that on a number of occasions. Sometimes on the front end, just I wasn't seeing the level of commitment. I one of the things I look for from a business standpoint in my clients is a level of commitment. You know, I never want to be more committed to the client's success than the client is committed to their own success. Mm-hmm. So if I don't see that for whatever reason, then that's not a path I'm going to walk down. But I've also had cases where I've been working with a client and needed to ultimately end that relationship, at least for now. And in one case in particular, it was very difficult because it was a very high visibility client. It was actually related to the White House at the time. It was, you know, several years ago at this point, but great work for a consulting company in the Washington D.C. area. Very painful to close the book on that, but mm-hmm. It was not going in a direction that I was comfortable with at all. And, you know, I made the very difficult decision to close that relationship out. But 6 months later, two of the people that had been in that office had moved. They were in different organizations and very senior positions in different organizations. And they came back to my company and said, we'd like your help. And the organizations they were now with, in the positions that they were in, it was just, it was wonderful. It was so generative. It was fun. We were able to do some great things together. One of those organizations I'm still working very closely with. So it really opened the door to so much more possibility, and I'm just so proud of myself for being willing to make that difficult choice at that time.
Wow. And so that's a great example of, you know, sometimes you might think that you're slamming a door shut and you're nailing it shut with, you know, 25-inch nails, and there's no way that door is ever going to open again. But being, you know, and when you have your own business, it can be very difficult to say no to any job because you're like, why, you know, am I crazy for turning down money? Right. But it's not, so, but you made these decisions not based on money. You made them actually based on you talked about this at the very beginning, your knowledge, your knowing. And so following that knowing, and sometimes it doesn't make sense logically, that look what showed up that was even, you couldn't have predicted that when you said no to this client.
And I'm not going to lie. I mean, it took a lot of guts and courage for me, and maybe this will be easier for somebody else. For me, it felt very scary. You know, my feelings around it were, mm-hmm. you know, very scary. Like you said, walking away from the money, walking away from this marquee, you know, client. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why, to me, this topic is just so important, because the thing that gave me the courage was the awareness and that one little molecule of, you know, that one, even that 1% of complete confidence, Betsy, that I saw myself as a creator of value. And even if only 1% of me was confident that I could create that value for someone else, someplace else, it was just enough to give me to undergird the courage to make that difficult choice.
Wow.
And I want everyone to have that 1% of confidence or more, right? But even that is enough.
Absolutely. You know, and there is sometimes it's just a little niggly something. And
yeah.
You know, when you're actually willing to ask those questions, like, what is this? What am I aware of here? You know, if I choose this, what does it create? And that's
yeah.
one of the questions that I love to ask, you know, because sometimes we can go so in our head and we can second, third, fourth, quadruple million times guess ourselves, right?
That's why we're friends, Betsy, because we can million times double check out ourselves, yes. Left to our own devices without these tools.
Right? And we can just drive ourselves crazy with the mind chatter that can go
yes.
on. And so with the questions, it so helps
yeah.
get me out of that. And so when you're like looking at a situation like saying no to a client, saying no to money that's right in front of you, it's like, okay, what does this choice create? And, you know, what else, then when you're saying no to that, what else can the universe actually bring you, provide for you, gift you, that if you were giving your attention to something that may not be the greatest choice, what can happen, certainly I've done this in my own life, where you're spending so much time putting out fires or dealing with a difficult thing or whatever's going on, all your time and attention is going to that, and you stop cultivating
yes.
other things.
That's exactly right. I like to say, how expensive is that money? How much is that money going to cost you?
Great question.
And, you know, one of the, you know, to add to the list of questions you were saying earlier when you were saying, you know, what is this? One of my favorite tools that is from Access Consciousness that really helped me actually in that particular choice I was making was that tool around heavy and light, you know, and that did it feel, you know, when I contemplated the future, if I was to continue with that client, was there a sense of expansiveness and lightness to that, or was there a sense of heaviness and contractiveness to that? And in this case, it was very clear to me it was the latter. And, you know, and so this tool from Access Consciousness really helped me realize I don't have to know how exactly this is going to work out. What I can know is that if I make this choice to continue with this client, I will get more of that heaviness and contractiveness. And to your point, it can ultimately, you ultimately risk, you know, stopping creating. You know, there's mm-hmm. a whole lot that can start to sort of get pulled out from under you as you're, you know, when a deal starts to go bad and your confidence is plummeting and, you know, there's just any number of ways, all of them bad, you know, that can end when you are contemplating a choice and you have that sense of, you know, heaviness or lightness. And contractiveness. And I'm not saying that necessarily that means it's a bad choice for you, but I did find for me personally, it's certainly put me, you know, aggressively into question, really caused me to use a lot of caution before proceeding. And ultimately, when I contemplated an alternative, which was, as you said, opening myself up to this vast universe of possibilities, none of which I consciously knew about at that time, I felt nothing but a sense of lightness and thankfully was willing to trust that and step into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in that, and there's what you just said in that last sentence, like you were willing to step into it. So could you talk a little bit more about what that actually means in your world?
So, you know, as an entrepreneur, especially because you're not getting a paycheck, you know, I mean, you're getting paid for value you deliver to a client, but if you're not doing that, you ain't getting paid, right? You don't have just a steady paycheck coming. So as an entrepreneur, you in the outside world with your own business, you really have to stay in motion. Not frenetic motion, not wasted motion, but you have to be continually taking action. And so for me, what that looked like was, you know, being willing to reach out deeper, broader across my network, being willing to make myself very uncomfortable by getting on the old-fashioned Fred Flintstone phone and calling people. And, you know, even putting myself out there to do some speaking engagements, which I had really, I mean, I had spoken in my church maybe once at an event, but I had not really been doing any, quote, professional speaking engagements. But I had to be willing to do these things because, you know, I couldn't just, I was tempted, trust me, I'm an introvert. I would love nothing more than to hide behind a computer all day. But that is not how you generate a business. So that's the form that it took for me.
Wow. This conversation is just so awesome. And I'm, again, so grateful that we're having it. And so would you talk a little bit more about, you say you're an introvert, that you would rather just stay behind your computer, and but you can't as a business owner. So can you talk some more about how you overcame or maybe you even continue to overcome that desire to be the introvert?
So, you know, and that is such a great question because I just have such a heart for fellow introverts because I know it's still uncomfortable, Betsy. Like 7 years into my business, I cannot pretend that it's not actually still really uncomfortable. It is. And every day I wake up and I ask myself, am I still having fun here? Is this still fun? Because it'd be a lot easier to just go get a job. But the rewards, even the intangible rewards, are so great still for me that, you know, that I am still choosing to make myself uncomfortable and stay in the kind of action that we're talking about. And one of the things that really helped me, and of course everybody's different, so I would encourage all of our listeners to, you know, to just open themselves to what could work for them, what could bring ease for them in this space of taking action. But for me, one thing that really, really helped was taking this notion of a specific outcome out of the equation. If I thought I was interacting with you, Betsy, just because I wanted to do business with you, and somewhere inside of me I'm harboring this desire that you're going to hire me, that just makes me feel like my body's catching on fire. I feel so uncomfortable doing that. I'd rather kill myself, frankly, with 1,000 pinpricks or something. But if I am operating from a space of genuine, like, care and interest and curiosity about your world and who you are as a person and what your aspirations are, what are you trying to create in the world? And where are you coming up against challenges or difficulties or problems? Or you're just looking for another co-conspirator to help you create some big new opportunity and, you know, feel like you can't do it alone. And that leads to something that's wonderful. But it's equally wonderful to me if it doesn't go anywhere. And I feel like I've just come to know another really cool person, creator of magnitude out there in the world. That changed things a lot for me to just turn it from, quote, I've got to go do business development to really flip it on its head and say, no, I'm doing relationship development. And as an introvert, like one-on-one relationships, like getting to know you as a person, that works for me really well.
Wow. Oh, time for our second break, you guys. Perfect timing. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight for more full of wisdom from Ms. April Armstrong today.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking you questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Having such a wonderful conversation today with my friend April Armstrong. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening and getting some wonderful questions and pearls of wisdom from April, who has created quite an amazing business here in the Washington, D.C. metro area. And she does travel all over, you know, outside of the D.C. area with workshops and speaking engagements and television appearances and different things that she is creating in the world. So April, we're talking about cultivating an entrepreneurial mindset. Try saying that fast five times. And
it is.
I can't even say it once. Like totally tying up my tongue here.
It's hard saying it slow.
Oh, goodness. Good thing that the name of the show isn't Perfect Brilliance, or I would really be in trouble, right?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm wondering, and I would like to actually bring in the element of humor. It's perfect timing. It didn't even occur to me, but it's like, what does humor contribute to being an entrepreneur and everything that you are creating in your world?
Oh my goodness, Betsy, I would say humor is my saving grace. And maybe many other people's as well, but for me personally, the ability to laugh at myself and with my clients and is truly just a saving grace. It diffuses, you know, tense situations. It can help you sort of recover from a gaffe. Humor is actually very healing. I really believe humor is healing and a whole heck of a lot of fun.
That's for sure. You know, and especially in the corporate world, and there's so much seriousness. And so when you can inject some humor and some lightness into a serious situation, it can change the entire day for somebody.
You know, I have to tell you just a super quick fun story on this, Betsy. As you may know, I do a lot of the work that my company does, and something I personally specialize in is a lot of consensus building work. Because, you know, in corporations and nonprofit organizations like the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, that, you know, they're working with local nonprofits around the country, or government organizations where, you know, the federal government may have multiple organizations, departments, and agencies that have to commit to and go in a common direction to make something really, you know, possible in a future, right? And so, mm-hmm. and they've got to sustain that direction over time. And, you know, and that can be challenging. So they'll often bring in my company to come in and help them with that strategic consensus building and sustained consensus building over time. And, but something that I do when I do a lot of these like retreats and offsites with groups is, which can often can be very tense. I mean, these organizations have a lot at stake, and we're not asking them, from my point of view, I would never want to see anyone quote compromise. But I do want to see organizations be willing to consider things outside of what they might be currently considering, right? Considering different possibilities. I'm trying to constantly like expand that sense of possibility. And there's all kinds of energies can come up in a session like that. But something that I do, speaking of humor, is, and this has just caught on so much that it always makes me laugh now, is I have a big, huge stuffed elephant, Betsy, that I was inspired by one particular leadership team I was working with that had a lot of tension on it, so much tension that several of them weren't even talking to each other before they brought me in to do this intervention offsite with them. And so like that you could cut that tension with a knife. So I was inspired to go to a children's store and get this big stuffed elephant. And I brought this elephant into the room. And then I also brought, like, some other little stuffed animals in the room, like little bunny rabbits and hedgehogs, because it's a really smart group of people, very technical, brilliant people that can go into what they call bunny holes. Like, they can just start to get super detailed and stuff. So I thought, you know what will lighten this? So I bought the elephant. I bought the little bunnies. I gave everybody a little bunny hedgehog thing. And I basically said, if any one of us in the room, I don't want to be the only bad guy here. If any one of us in the room start to go down a bunny hole, you have permission to totally just chuck your bunny at that person. Like, help them with little bunnies, like, you know, and the funny thing was like, people couldn't believe it when someone started throwing a bunny at them. And like, next thing you know, they're all just, they're laughing, Betsy, and they're realizing, oh, I guess I was getting too detailed there. But instead of feeling offended, and criticized, they're chuckling and they're throwing the bunny back at the guy, you know. And the elephant, what I said to them with the elephant, I had it hidden kind of in the room, but like the trunk was sticking out. And at one point, some guy says, is that an elephant over there? And I said, well, in fact, it is. And I pulled the elephant out, and I said to them, by the end of our time together, this better be the only elephant in the room.
In the room. Oh, my God.
And it really just gave them this permission to start talking at a deeper level with each other, to start unearthing those, quote, elephants. And they loved it, Betsy. And now it's like when I still actually work with that group, and when I work with them, they'll say, like, bring that elephant out. We've got something we need to talk about. But the energy and the air is so much lighter. You know, the tension is really – it's like there's not a charge in the air, you know. There's no charge on it. They can just have these conversations, and they're laughing together, which is just such a different space than they were in without the humor.
Yeah, what a gift, and I love that. Chuck the bunny. Like, that, I think, is going to be my new saying.
I love it.
Chuck the bunny. So, you know, like, and it really does show us that sometimes we can take ourselves so seriously and really, like, what can humor interject into any situation that we're in. And I'm just picturing, you know, a boardroom and people in their, you know, their high-powered suits, and they're throwing stuff bunnies at each other.
That's an accurate image.
That's awesome. That's brilliant. Oh, my gosh. Talk about cultivating an entrepreneurial mindset.
Right? Who says it can't be so much fun?
Right? And so who knew we were going to be talking about throwing stuffed animals at each other?
I'll get to a new level with this particular group. But, hey, what will you create?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, how does it get even funner than this? Oh, my goodness. So, April, what else would you like to share with the listeners today about what they can do to cultivate more of a entrepreneurial mindset, no matter where they are and what they're doing right now?
You know, maybe I would leave them with three tips, Betsy. First of all, I would say I would invite them to look around in their lives and identify a couple of people, and they don't even have to be people living. They can be people from the past, or they can be young children, or they can be your, you know, people your own sort of generation. But who inspires you? I would invite them to find, you know, a handful of role models of people who inspire you, or even what I like to say is create your own board of directors. And they can be living people or dead people or old people or young people. So, for example, I've got a couple of dead people on my board of directors. You know, like, some of the founding fathers are on my board of directors. My great-grandfather, J.B. Arthur, is on my board of directors. He jumped a train at age 14 with a sixth-grade education in the Depression and started a fire brick company that became one of the two biggest fire brick companies in the world, and did it with a sixth-grade education. I'm like, you know what? If he can do it, I can do something here, right? So that that energy of that inspiration, I think, is really, really helpful. And these role models can come in all different forms. That would be one thing I would say. Another thing I would say is, you know, don't be afraid to, I call it, like, time traveling and playing dress up. And you know, and by that, what I mean is put yourself not just in today's world, but fast forward in your mind into the future. If you're working for a company or you're envisioning your own company, what could the future look like in 10 years? What might be, you know, what is that next better thing that, you know, that would make it so much better in 10 years even that a customer would really value? Or that mm-hmm. if you put, you know, and by playing dress up, I mean, put on a CEO hat, even if you're the lowest person on the totem pole today. You're brilliant. You are imperfectly brilliant, and put on that CEO hat and look through that person's, you know, that imaginary lens, or put on a customer hat. Pretend that you're maybe going to buy your own product or service. Look through that person's lens. So that's what I mean by playing dress up. And then the final thing I would say is what you're looking for when you're playing with this is, you know, you're looking for the value. Ultimately, one key thing with being an entrepreneur, having an entrepreneurial mindset, is that you have to be creating value. And this is my big beef with, like, a lot of how what is missing, I think, from a lot of educational programs today is that we teach people to get, like, straight A's or gold stars or whatever. We're not teaching people how to create something that a market will value, that somebody will pay something for. And whether mm-hmm. that somebody is outside, you know, your company and it's a customer, or whether that somebody is inside your company or inside your organization and they're willing to support you, you know, by giving you the time in your day to work on that project or set some money aside for you to, quote, build something inside the company. One way or another, though, a market has to buy your idea. And so that is, you know, that willingness to invest, right? So you're looking constantly for where can you add more value or where can you create value out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. I guess, yeah, those would be my three big, I don't know if that's helpful or not, but tips I might leave someone with.
I thought it was extremely helpful. So, you know, it's like where can you add value? And if you go, so where if somebody asks that question and they think that they don't have anything to add value to?
I would truly say just kind of keep looking. Keep your little awareness alert antenna up and, you know, and keep looking. And to me, there's a couple of, like, indicators of a possible space where you could add value. A, where are you annoyed today? One place I used to be really annoyed was having people waste my time in bad meetings that never mm-hmm. went anywhere. Well, guess yes. what? Probably 45% of my company's business now is. It's really a lot around high-value meetings. We work in high-stakes environments, but still, we've got to deliver high-value meetings. But that was born out of my own frustration and annoyance by sitting in, a, you know, bad meetings, right? So where do you feel annoyed or frustrated? There's possibly a space where if you were to turn that on its head and turn that into a real question, well, what could I add to this? What could we do different here that, you know, that could change this? You might be on a path to an innovation there, a really good idea.
I love that. What annoys you? And it's so true, right?
Who doesn't love to be annoyed every now and then? But follow that money.
Right, right. What? And that actually means, like, that question, what do you know here? So
yes.
If you go beyond the annoyance, like, what is it that you are aware of? So you are so aware of, like, I'm sure you weren't the only person in the room who was like, oh, my God, you know, there's so much time being wasted with this, you know, I could be doing X, Y, and Z. And so when you have that, you know, like, what can you create from that? So you turned that around into something that now you said is 45% of your business and your clients. And how grateful are they to actually be like, oh, thank God somebody saw this and created it.
Yeah. And, you know, you said something, Betsy, about what do you know. I love that you just said that, because that's the other thing, right? Like, whatever position you might be in today, you are so much more than that. You're imperfectly brilliant. You're brilliant. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to be the true total, the totality of the brilliance you be, what else do you see out there? What other possibilities, mm-hmm. you know, do you see where you could make something better, or you see something that's, you know, maybe you're not even quote, feeling annoyed, but you're just observing a group of people that you're working with, and you recognize that they could be doing something so different, or that the future is going to demand that they do something different. And if they don't start to change mm-hmm. now, they will be left behind. You might be mm-hmm. the only person who sees that right now. But I would want to encourage everyone listening to this phone call to trust your knowing on that. Yes, you probably have to do some homework. You know, you can't just barge into someone's office and demand that they listen to you. But trust your knowing. You may be the only person who sees that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left, so I want to be sure that you have time to tell people how they can find you if they're looking for you.
You can find me on LinkedIn, April Armstrong on LinkedIn, aprilarmstrong.live, as you said, Betsy, my website. I also have a Facebook page, I think also under April Armstrong. And, yeah, those are three places I live online.
Thank you so much for your time and your beautiful insights and joining us today, April. And we've actually already talked about, we knew that there was going to be a lot we wanted to talk about. I said, I don't really think we can do all this in an hour. So April will be coming back soon for a repeat, another conversation. Thank you so much, April, for being with us today. I'm so grateful.
Such a pleasure. Thank you, Betsy.
All right, you guys, have a great week and embrace you and what you know about your entrepreneurial capacity. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks, April.
Bye.